don't have this privilege very often to introduce Brother Brian, but I'd like to just point out that he is living proof that you can get something of benefit from Maryvale. And it's kind of hard maybe in this day and age, but that's where he grew up, was over there in Maryvale and went to school. But I do ask you to give him your prayers and your attention as our brother, Apostle Brian McAnew, speaks to us.
Thank you, Jay. Hopefully my battery will last. I welcome you each here today and say happy Father's Day to you. This is Father's Day, and I sat up here, and it was a little bit intimidating looking out and realizing that I'm in the generation of oldest fathers in this room today. And I'm also very happy to know that there are older fathers, another older generation that just doesn't happen to be here. I think probably most of them are off somewhere else attending church or holding services today. And our heart goes out to them. But the fact that they're doing that is part of what my sermon is about. If somebody was to ask me, who is the audience for this sermon? It would be those who are fathers. I'm going to talk to you. Those who will be fathers, I'm going to talk to you. Women, you can't all leave, because also the audience is any of those of you who had fathers. And that includes the women. And about us. Each one of us. And I'd like to begin, and I'm going to read in Alma chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. This is Alma speaking to his son Helaman. It says, "And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. And I would not ye think that I know of myself, not of the temporal, but of the spiritual, not of the carnal mind, but of God." Here's a man trying to direct his son. He's asking him, hear my words. Hear my words. Understand the things I'm trying to teach you, because these things will lift you up. They will care for all the needs that you're going to have. And he says, that he doesn't know himself as the temporal. Don't look at the things that are temporal, but look at the things which are spiritual, but the things which are godly. We live in a world that seems to be going upside down. Upside down. I was, when I was traveling to the reunions, I heard jokes. I never saw the article. I never heard a real newscast. All I heard was people making jokes about our President Bush when he went to see the Pope. And he called him sir, and rather than your holiness. And he got in a lot of trouble over that. And I thought, I'd have a hard time if I were president calling the Pope your holiness, because it's just not my beliefs. And I was trying to find the article. And I didn't find the article, but I did find another article, what the Pope and the Catholic Church thought about that. And what I found was that they think that President Bush is the Antichrist of the book of Revelation. Upside down, isn't it? Upside down. This is what is happening today. In the religious aspects of the world, things are turned upside down. Things have been perverted. Things have been forgotten. Satan is setting confusion amongst the people. That is his plan. He plans to conquer them with these things. People that never studied the book of Revelation read an article like that, and they'll start thinking things like that. They don't know what's going on. They put things upside down. You know, we live in these last days, and Paul described them as perilous times. They're going to be dangerous. Dangerous because man is turning away from God, and he's turning to his own wisdom and his own sensuality, his own lust, his own desires, his own projects and plans. And that's why they're dangerous. And to combat the influence of today's world, we need to have a strong, godly influence in our life. There has to be somebody there. There has to be people there. There has to be an influence there to keep us on path, keep us on track, to show us the way. I'm going to turn. I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to begin in verse 3. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." This is what Alma was instructing his son Helaman, to learn and to follow the things that he did that he knew that were godly. Here it says Solomon loved the Lord and he tried to walk in the statutes of his father. King David was a godly man. I was beginning to wonder if we were going to discuss my whole sermon this morning in Sunday school. We started talking about Solomon and David and those people. But in this reading, we find that Solomon found a role model to follow. And it was his father. And he wanted to follow in those footsteps. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, we know. We can look at it. We can follow David's life, and we can see that he made mistakes. You know, there's not a father out there in the room today, or up here in the room today probably, that hasn't made a mistake in their life, that hasn't done things that are wrong, made errors. But see, David was a man after God's own heart because he confessed those things. He confessed them in a humble demeanor. He didn't have to win the battle. He didn't have to say, "I'm king, I'm right." But he confessed his faults before the Lord humbly. And he was unlike the common practice today. When you have a problem, you blame somebody else for it. He took responsibility for it. You know, it's, you know, we're in a world today where, you know, anything that happens to you, not to us particularly, but in the world, you turn around and you sue somebody. You know, you spill hot coffee on you, you sue the restaurant that gave you hot coffee, even though you ordered hot coffee. You know, we blame everybody else for our own mistakes. But David wasn't like that. David made himself accountable and owned up to the things that he did. And he was willing to pay the consequence for his sins. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. And he served his people. He served them. He made them a strong nation. He brought them to where they hadn't been before. So this is Father's Day. And a father should be that type of strong role model for us to follow. He has attributes. He should have good attributes. A father needs to protect his family, protect his children. He needs to provide for his family. And not just the temporal things of life, although he should provide for those temporal things of life, but also the spiritual. He needs to be the spiritual head of the household. He needs to be an example on how to follow God. He needs to be an example of work ethic. He needs to be an example of truth and honesty. He needs to be loving, show love to his family. He needs to show his children how to be faithful to a wife. So he needs to be an example in those things. He needs to teach his children. He needs to correct his children. He needs to prepare his children for the day that they are going to be adults themselves and have to make decisions in this world that is upside down. They need to know the way. They need to know the path. They need to know the truth. And that's what David tried to do for Solomon. That's what we need to try to do. That's what our fathers did for us. Let's continue reading in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to go through from verse 4 to 14. So, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him in his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne at this day." We'll stop right there. Here we see in this dream that the Lord appeared unto Solomon in his dream, where he didn't have control of his total mental state, the things that he was thinking about his father, these attributes that he recognized of his father, was he walked in truth, that he was righteous, that he was upright in his heart, that he had kindness. And so those are the things that he's thinking about his father, and he's expressing to the Lord. Let's go on in verse 7. "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in," which means to lead the people. "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither shall there arise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Solomon's dream was not a common dream. His bodily powers were locked up into his sleep, but the power of his soul was strengthened. Strengthened by the Lord, he was enabled to receive this divine vision and to make a good choice. A good choice on what he wanted from the Lord. God, in like manner, puts us, each and every one of us, in this position to be ready to be happy in our lives, to do the things, to have the things which we need, by assuring us that we shall have those things which we need and those things which we pray for. Solomon making such a choice while he's asleep and dreaming shows that it was God that was revealing these things to him. The power to reason wasn't there because he was asleep. You know, if you just sat down and said, make a list of things that you have to have, You know, we'd make all this reason, well, this would be first priority. You know, that wasn't there. What was in his mind, what his desire of real heart was, surfaced in this dream. And God was able to extract from him the true desire of his heart as how to judge his people, how to walk in the statutes of his father and govern and lead the people like his father did. He had a humble sense of his own weaknesses. And we can see that when he said, Lord, I am but a child. He wasn't really a child, but he knew he was unready for such a position that he had. The more wise and considerate men of this world are better acquainted with their own weaknesses. Instead of the power that they possess, they know where they lack and strive to improve on those things. So Solomon begged God to give him wisdom. Begged him, give me wisdom. You know, that goes back right at the beginning of our history. In James chapter 1, verse 5, where that's what Joseph Smith depended upon. Lord, what church should I join? There's so many out there, I don't know what to do. And he read James and said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you. And the Lord did provide, and we know that was the beginning of our church. One of our forefathers started this gospel, this church in which the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored by wisdom. So we pray for wisdom, and it will help us. It will help us do those things that we have to do daily. It'll tell us what we are to do, our individual duties. You know, we are a group of people. We're all different. We know the Bible said that the church is like many members. It's like a body with many members. But we have individual duties. We need to pray. We need to ask God, give us wisdom. What is it that I am supposed to do to help this church, to help this people, to help in your work? Give me wisdom on the responsibilities or the calling that I have, how to accomplish these things. God's hands are out for spiritual blessings more than they are for worldly blessings and earthly goods, because spiritual blessings bring about eternal blessings. Goodly, earthly blessings only are for a short time. So the Lord is ready to pour out those things which are spiritual upon you. And like Solomon, if you ask for those things and seek those things, then he will bless you with the other things according to his desires. We're not all going to be as rich as Solomon. It's not going to happen. He was a very wealthy man. But that's what Alma was telling Helaman. He says, I know myself. Follow the things in me spiritually, not the things which are carnal. Solomon's prayer was a successful prayer. And it prevailed for more than what he asked. He asked for wisdom, and he gained the throne. He gained riches. He had the wisdom. He had honor. But David, he desired to follow the example of his father. Solomon was the 10th son of David, and he was the second son of Bathsheba. And he was the third king of Israel, following in the footsteps of his father. His father David was a mighty man. He was the king of Israel, had a desire to do the work, not his own work, but to do the will of the father. But he also had a great desire to do something for the Lord. Well, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4. And let's see the desire of David's heart. It says, now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. So here David, he said, I have this big, beautiful palace that I live in, but the Lord dwelleth in the ark. And all we have for that is a portable tent, a tabernacle. I want to build the Lord a house. I want to build a temple, a permanent structure to put the Ark of the Covenant in. So the Lord has a beautiful place. So the prophet hears him tell him that. And the prophet says, David, do what your heart wants to do. Do that for the Lord. Go for it. But let's continue to read. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. So Nathan, the prophet, already told David, yeah, that's good, go do it. Now the Lord's telling Nathan, you got to go back and stand before the king and tell him, you're forbidden to do this. It's not your work. I don't want you to do it. Now, King David was chosen by God. He was anointed as a young boy. He was a man after God's own heart. He was desiring to do something great and wonderful for the Lord. But the Lord told Nathan, the prophet, go tell him. It's not yours to do. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 17 through 20. It says, and it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. He told David. David had a good desire in his heart, and the Lord told him, that is a good desire. You want to serve me. But that wasn't your work. I have saved that work for your son. His name is Solomon. He will sit upon the throne and he will build this house. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent, which means impact. I had to look that up. And behold, I suppose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. You know, we can see that David had a responsibility. He had a calling of God. And he was a mighty man. Many parts of the scriptures talk about David. The people in the New Testament talk about David. He was a mighty man. But his work was limited. The Lord preserved work for the next generation of people. And they had to do things also that God had waited for them to accomplish. Solomon was to build that temple unto the Lord. Solomon was to have great wisdom. And even though God gave Solomon the gift, a great gift of wisdom, he made some very unwise choices in his life. We know that. He was a great king. He took Israel to a new height. They advanced beyond anything they had ever done before. But as a nation, he failed them. He had a great start. Having gained the throne of his father, he had great wealth. But then he let his sensuality and his pride rule over him rather than the Lord. So Solomon failed Israel ultimately. And the great downfall of Solomon was pagan influence introduced by many of his wife. The first one was when he took the wife from the daughter of Pharaoh and put her on the throne over Israel. A pagan queen was over Israel. And that's why David wrote in a psalm, he says, don't put your trust in princes or the son of man. His own son he couldn't trust. He knew that there would be mistakes if we put our trust in men. But what we can appreciate is that he did accomplish the work. The work that the Lord had given him to do, that is what we have to understand. That's what we have to understand about ourselves. That we have to accomplish work. That there are many things that we have to do as a people. Our fathers, our forefathers, our grandfathers have done some great things. We think back about some of the fathers, great-grandfathers and some of the people in here began the Phoenix Local. They traveled across the country to this part of the country to establish locals in this part of the land. Some of our grandfathers took the church and brought them back to Missouri. Some of our grandfathers and fathers have began the work in foreign countries. They've done great things. And sometimes there's a tendency for us as people to say, I can't live up to those things that my fathers and grandfathers did. We respect them for all the hard work they did. But what God expects for us to do is to follow them, follow their footsteps, follow the path in which they led us. Because there's other things that have to be done. And just like the temple, he's waited for this generation, for my generation, for the next generation, for Tony's generation, for David's generation. He has work set aside for them to do. And so we have to prepare ourselves to follow our fathers, see their strong example, see the way they led us, and follow it. Pick up the torch. Go with it. Raise the bar a little higher and get over it. That's what is required of us. It's not going to be long. It won't be long before the Lord returns. I truly believe that. And so we of a generation of people have to be prepared to do the work. We have to be ready to take the gospel to the world. We have to follow those examples of our Father in righteousness, follow them in truthfulness, follow them in the way we treat our families. We as fathers today need to do that. We need to prepare our young children. They're sitting on our laps today. Show them the path, because their work may be greater than our work. It's what is our call to do. Not to sit back, not to say, I can't achieve those things which my fathers have done, but to go there and beyond every generation. Let's take a look at 1 Nephi. Chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse. It says, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in my days, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and mysteries of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days, and I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. You know, Lehi, we start reading the Book of Mormon, we see that Lehi was a prophet in Jerusalem. He led his family out. But his son didn't just say, I can't follow that. I can't do those things my father did. He started following the commandments of God, and he wrote these first books. We don't see the words of Lehi scribe here. We see his son had that work to do and passed these records down from generation to generation. There's a great work for us. There is a great work for this generation and every generation to come until the day that the Lord returns. And this is Father's Day. We need to consider that. Consider ourselves as fathers. Give thanks to our fathers who have gone before us for showing us the way to walk, that we can follow in those strong paths, to show us the example. We give thanks to our fathers for setting the bar high, not having a low bar that we can just barely get, that we can get over easily. We have the bar is high, but we can hurdle that bar also. We can go over it. We can do those things which our father's done, carry on the work, and go places and do things that the Lord has reserved us to do. I'm going to turn to a psalm that David wrote. I referred to it once, but I'm going to read it. Psalm 146. I don't use a book of Psalms too much, but when I do, it's because it is, I want you to understand, this is the words of a man who's praising God. This is a song that he wrote in praise to the Lord. And this is the heart of David. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. See here, he's referring to his fathers, his grandfathers, who hath a God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. All generations. Our generations, we need to praise God. We need to put our trust in the Lord, the same Lord that David worshiped. Not in our own flesh. We need to be like Solomon. Let go deep into your heart. Seek out those spiritual things. Ask God, Lord, what is it I am to do in my generation? Pray to him. Don't dictate to him. Don't tell him, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. But ask him and pray to him. Lord, what do I need to do? Give unto me those spiritual gifts that I may carry on these things that our fathers have done in the past, that I may help and serve my children, that I may provide and serve the church, that I might help the work of the gospel in these last days. There is no small task. There is no small task before us. Everything that the Lord has for us, every gift that he gives us is a blessing. Any responsibility that he gives you or calls you or asks you to do is a blessing. You have to do those things. The Lord has preserved things for our generation. Are we ready to do them? Have we asked him, what is it, Lord, you would have us to do? Have you prepared a work for me? We can see our Father's work. They were the steps that we can follow, the example we can look to. But what has the Lord asked for us to do? Ask him. Ask him for that wisdom. What is it you'd have me to do? Lord, spiritually prepare me for it. Make me a good follower. Make me somebody that my children can follow in my footsteps and go beyond in this gospel. Because in this last day, when everything is turned upside down, we know that the Lord's great work will be done. It says in the Book of Mormon that there's going to be a last time that he will send forth his laborers into the field to gather and to work and to reap. And the Lord is going to be there with us to accomplish it. But we have to be steadfast and ready to serve those God, to prepare ourselves in this life, to prepare our children with our example, with our dedication, to raise them and then nurture them in the gospel, because they're not far behind us. It seems like just a few years ago that Tony was sitting in our lap, my lap, little tiny guy, grown man. It won't be long before Brooke is a grown woman. It's coming to an end. This generation has a great responsibility. So we thank our fathers for setting the footsteps for us. But it's time that each one of us start looking for what it is we are to do. May God bless us in that endeavor.
I have this privilege very often to introduce Brother Brian, but I'd like to just point out that he is living proof that you can get something of benefit from Maryvale. And it's kind of hard maybe in this day and age, but that's where he grew up, was over there in Maryvale and went to school. But I do ask you to give him your prayers and your attention as our brother, Apostle Brian McAnuff, speaks to us.
Thank you, Jay. Hopefully my battery will last. I welcome you each here today and say happy Father's Day to you. This is Father's Day, and I sat up here, and it was a little bit intimidating looking out and realizing that I'm in the generation of oldest fathers in this room today. And I'm also very happy to know that there are older fathers, another older generation that just doesn't happen to be here. I think probably most of them are off somewhere else attending church or holding services today. And our heart goes out to them. But the fact that they're doing that is part of what my sermon is about. If somebody was to ask me, who is the audience for this sermon? It would be those who are fathers. I'm going to talk to you. Those who will be fathers, I'm going to talk to you. Women, you can't all leave, because also the audience is any of those of you who had fathers. And that includes the women. And about us, each one of us. And I'd like to begin, and I'm going to read in Alma chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. This is Alma speaking to his son Helaman. Says, "And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. And I would not ye think that I know of myself not of the temporal, but of the spiritual, not of the carnal mind, but of God. Here's a man trying to direct his son. He's asking him, you know, hear my words. Hear my words. Understand the things I'm trying to teach you, because these things will lift you up. They will care for all the needs that you're going to have. And he says, you know, that he doesn't know himself of the temporal. Don't look at the things that are temporal, but look at the things which are spiritual, but the things which are godly. We live in a world that seems to be going upside down. Upside down. I was, when I was traveling to the reunions, I heard jokes. I never saw the article. I never heard a real newscast. All I heard was people making jokes about our President Bush when he went to see the Pope. And he called him sir, and rather than your holiness. And he got in a lot of trouble over that. And I thought, I'd have a hard time if I were president calling the Pope your holiness, because it's just not my beliefs. And I was trying to find the article. And I didn't find the article, but I did find another article, what the Pope and the Catholic Church thought about that. And what I found was that they think that President Bush is the Antichrist of the Book of Revelation. Upside down, isn't it? Upside down. This is what is happening today. In the religious aspects of the world, things are turned upside down. Things have been perverted. Things have been forgotten. Satan is setting confusion amongst the people. That is his plan. He plans to conquer them with these things. People that never studied the book of Revelation read an article like that, and they'll start thinking things like that. They don't know what's going on. They put things upside down. You know, we live in these last days, and Paul described them as perilous times. They're going to be dangerous. Dangerous because man is turning away from God, and he's turning to his own wisdom and his own sensuality, his own lust, his own desires, his own projects and plans. And that's why they're dangerous. And to combat the influence of today's world, we need to have a strong, godly influence in our life. There has to be somebody there. There has to be people there. There has to be an influence there to keep us on path, keep us on track, to show us the way. I'm going to turn. I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to begin in verse 3. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. This is what Alma was instructing his son Helaman, to learn and to follow the things that he did that he knew that were godly. Here it says Solomon loved the Lord and he tried to walk in the statutes of his father. King David was a godly man. I was beginning to wonder if we were going to discuss my whole sermon this morning in Sunday school. We started talking about Solomon and David and those people. But in this reading, We find that Solomon found a role model to follow, and it was his father, and he wanted to follow in those footsteps. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And we know, we can look at it, we can follow David's life, and we can see that he made mistakes. You know, there's not a father out there in the room today, or up here in the room today probably, that hasn't made a mistake in their life, that hasn't done things that are wrong, made errors. But see, David was a man after God's own heart because he confessed those things. He confessed them in a humble demeanor. He didn't have to win the battle. He didn't have to say, I'm king, I'm right. But he confessed his faults before the Lord, humbly. And he was unlike the common practice today. When you have a problem, you blame somebody else for it. He took responsibility for it. You know, it's, you know, we're in a world today where, you know, anything that happens to you, not to us particularly, but in the world, you turn around and you sue somebody. You know, you spill hot coffee on you, you sue the restaurant that gave you hot coffee, even though you ordered hot coffee. You know, we blame everybody else for our own mistakes. But David wasn't like that. David made himself accountable and owned up to the things that he did. And he was willing to pay the consequence for his sins. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. And he served his people. He served them. He made them a strong nation. He brought them to where they hadn't been before. So this is Father's Day. And a father should be that type of strong role model for us to follow. He has attributes. He should have good attributes. A father needs to protect his family, protect his children. He needs to provide for his family. And not just the temporal things of life, although he should provide for those temporal things of life, but also the spiritual. He needs to be the spiritual head of the household. He needs to be an example on how to follow God. He needs to be an example of work ethic. He needs to be an example of truth and honesty. He needs to be loving, show love to his family. He needs to show his children how to be faithful to a wife. So he needs to be an example in those things. He needs to teach his children. He needs to correct his children. He needs to prepare his children for the day that they are going to be adults themselves and have to make decisions in this world that is upside down. They need to know the way. They need to know the path. They need to know the truth. And that's what David tried to do for Solomon. That's what we need to try to do. That's what our fathers did for us. Let's continue reading in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to go through from verse 4 to 14. So, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him in his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne at this day. We'll stop right there. Here we see in this dream that the Lord appeared unto Solomon in his dream where he didn't have control of his total mental state, the things that he was thinking about his father, these attributes that he recognized of his father, was he walked in truth, that he was righteous, that he was upright in his heart, that he had kindness. And so those are the things that he's thinking about his father, and he's expressing to the Lord. Let's go on in verse 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in, which means to lead the people. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither shall there arise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon's dream was not a common dream. His bodily powers were locked up into his sleep, but the power of his soul was strengthened by the Lord. He was enabled to receive this divine vision and to make a good choice on what he wanted from the Lord. God, in like manner, puts us, each and every one of us, in this position to be ready to be happy in our lives, to do the things, to have the things which we need, by assuring us that we shall have those things which we need and those things which we pray for. Solomon making such a choice while he's asleep and dreaming shows that it was God that was revealing these things to him. The power to reason wasn't there because he was asleep. You know, if you just sat down and said, make a list of things that you have to have, you know, we'd make all this reason, well, this would be first priority, you know. That wasn't there. What was in his mind, what his desire of real heart was, surfaced in this dream. And God was able to extract from him the true desire of his heart as how to judge his people, how to walk in the statutes of his father, and govern and lead the people like his father did. He had a humble sense of his own weaknesses. And we can see that when he said, Lord, I am but a child. He wasn't really a child, but he knew he was unready for such a position that he had. The more wise and considerate men of this world are better acquainted with their own weaknesses. Instead of the power that they possess, they know where they lack and strive to improve on those things. So Solomon begged God to give him wisdom. Begged him, give me wisdom. You know, that goes back right at the beginning of our history. In James chapter 1, verse 5, where that's what Joseph Smith depended upon. Lord, what church should I join? There's so many out there, I don't know what to do. And he read James and said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you. And the Lord did provide, and we know that was the beginning of our church. One of our forefathers started this gospel, this church in which the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored by wisdom. So we pray for wisdom, and it will help us. It will help us do those things that we have to do daily. It'll tell us what we are to do, our individual duties. You know, we are a group of people. We're all different. We know the Bible said that the church is like many members. It's like a body with many members. But we have individual duties. We need to pray. We need to ask God, give us wisdom. What is it that I am supposed to do to help this church, to help this people, to help in your work? Give me wisdom on the responsibilities or the calling that I have, how to accomplish these things. God's hands are out for spiritual blessings, more than they are for worldly blessings and earthly goods, because spiritual blessings bring about eternal blessings. Goodly, earthly blessings only are for a short time. So the Lord is ready to pour out those things which are spiritual upon you. And like Solomon, if you ask for those things and seek those things, then he will bless you with the other things according to his desires. We're not all going to be as rich as Solomon. It's not going to happen. He was a very wealthy man. But that's what Alma was telling Helaman. He says, I know myself. Follow the things in me spiritually, not the things which are carnal. Solomon's prayer was a successful prayer. And it prevailed for more than what he asked. He asked for wisdom, and he gained the throne. He gained riches. He had the wisdom. He had honor. But David, he desired to follow the example of his father. Solomon was the 10th son of David, and he was the second son of Bathsheba, and he was the third king of Israel, following in the footsteps of his father. His father David was a mighty man. He was the king of Israel, had a desire to do the work, not his own work, but to do the will of the Father. But he also had a great desire to do something for the Lord. Well, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles 17 verses 1 through 4. And let's see the desire of David's heart. It says, now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. So here David, he said, I have this big, beautiful palace that I live in, but the Lord dwelleth in the ark. And all we have for that is a portable tent, a tabernacle. I want to build the Lord a house. I want to build a temple, a permanent structure to put the Ark of the Covenant in, so the Lord has a beautiful place. So the prophet hears him tell him that. And the prophet says, David, do what your heart wants to do. Do that for the Lord. Go for it. But let's continue to read. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. So Nathan, the prophet, already told David, yeah, that's good, go do it. Now the Lord's telling Nathan, you got to go back and stand before the king and tell him, you're forbidden to do this. It's not your work. I don't want you to do it. Now, King David was chosen by God. He was anointed as a young boy. He was a man after God's own heart. He was desiring to do something great and wonderful for the Lord. But the Lord told Nathan the prophet, go tell him. It's not yours to do. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 17 through 20. It says, and it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel." He told David. David had a good desire in his heart, and the Lord told him, "That is a good desire. You want to serve me, but that wasn't your work. I have saved that work for your son. His name is Solomon. He will sit upon the throne, and he will build this house." Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent," which means impact. I had to look that up. "And behold, I suppose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name." You know, we can see that David had a responsibility. He had a calling of God. And he was a mighty man. Many parts of the scriptures talk about David. The people in the New Testament talk about David. He was a mighty man. But his work was limited. The Lord preserved work for the next generation of people. And they had to do things also that God had waited for them to accomplish. Solomon was to build that temple unto the Lord. Solomon was to have great wisdom. And even though God gave Solomon the gift, a great gift of wisdom, he made some very unwise choices in his life. We know that. He was a great king. He took Israel to a new height. They advanced beyond anything they had ever done before. But as a nation, he failed them. He had a great start. Having gained the throne of his father, he had great wealth. But then he let his sensuality and his pride rule over him rather than the Lord. So Solomon failed Israel ultimately. And the great downfall of Solomon was pagan influence introduced by many of his wife. The first one was when he took the wife from the daughter of Pharaoh and put her on the throne over Israel. A pagan queen was over Israel. And that's why David wrote in a psalm, he says, "Don't put your trust in princes or the son of man." His own son he couldn't trust. He knew that there would be mistakes if we put our trust in men. But what we can appreciate is that he did accomplish the work. The work that the Lord had given him to do. That is what we have to understand. That's what we have to understand about ourselves. That we have to accomplish work. That there are many things that we have to do as a people. Our fathers, our forefathers, our grandfathers have done some great things. We think back about some of the fathers, great-grandfathers of some of the people in here began the Phoenix Local. They traveled across the country to this part of the country to establish locals in this part of the land. Some of our grandfathers took the church and brought them back to Missouri. Some of our grandfathers and fathers have began the work in foreign countries. They've done great things. And sometimes there's a tendency for us as people to say, "I can't live up to those things that my fathers and grandfathers did." We respect them for all the hard work they did. But what God expects for us to do is to follow them, follow their footsteps, follow the path in which they led us. Because there's other things that have to be done. And just like the temple, He's waited for this generation, for my generation, for the next generation, for Tony's generation, for David's generation. He has work set aside for them to do. And so we have to prepare ourselves to follow our fathers, see their strong example, see the way they led us, and follow it. Pick up the torch. Go with it. Raise the bar a little higher and get over it. That's what is required of us. It's not going to be long. It won't be long before the Lord returns. I truly believe that. And so we of a generation of people have to be prepared to do the work. We have to be ready to take the gospel to the world. We have to follow those examples of our Father in righteousness, follow them in truthfulness, follow them in the way we treat our families. We as fathers today need to do that. We need to prepare our young children. They're sitting on our laps today. Show them the path, because their work may be greater than our work. It's what is our call to do. Not to sit back, not to say, I can't achieve those things which my fathers have done, but to go there and beyond every generation. Let's take a look at 1 Nephi. Chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse. It says, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in my days, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and mysteries of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days, and I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. You know, Lehi, that we start reading the Book of Mormon, we see that Lehi was a prophet in Jerusalem. He led his family out. But his son didn't just say, I can't follow that. I can't do those things my father did. He started following the commandments of God, and he wrote these first books. We don't see the words of Lehi scribed here. We see his son had that work to do and passed these records down from generation to generation. There's a great work for us. There is a great work for this generation and every generation to come until the day that the Lord returns. And this is Father's Day. We need to consider that. Consider ourselves as fathers. Give thanks to our fathers who have gone before us for showing us the way to walk, that we can follow in those strong paths, to show us the example. We give thanks to our fathers for setting the bar high, not having a low bar that we can just barely get, that we can get over easily. We have the bar is high. But we can hurdle that bar also. We can go over it. We can do those things which our Father's done, carry on the work, and go places and do things that the Lord has reserved us to do. I'm going to turn to a psalm that David wrote. I referred to it once, but I'm going to read it. Psalm 146. I don't use a book of Psalms too much, but when I do, it's because it is, I want you to understand, this is the words of a man who's praising God. This is a song that he wrote in praise to the Lord. And this is the heart of David. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. See here, he's referring to his fathers, his grandfathers, who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. All generations, our generations, we need to praise God. We need to put our trust in the Lord, the same Lord that David worshiped. Not in our own flesh. We need to be like Solomon. Let go deep into your heart. Seek out those spiritual things. Ask God, Lord, what is it I am to do in my generation? Pray to him. Don't dictate to him. Don't tell him, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. But ask him and pray to him. Lord, what do I need to do? Give unto me those spiritual gifts that I may carry on these things that our fathers have done in the past, that I may help and serve my children, that I may provide and serve the church, that I might help the work of the gospel in these last days. There is no small task. There is no small task before us. Everything that the Lord has for us, every gift that he gives us is a blessing. Any responsibility that he gives you or calls you or asks you to do is a blessing. You have to do those things. The Lord has preserved things for our generation. Are we ready to do them? Have we asked him, what is it, Lord, you would have us to do? Have you prepared a work for me? We can see our Father's work. They were the steps that we can follow, the example we can look to. But what has the Lord asked for us to do? Ask him. Ask him for that wisdom. What is it you'd have me to do? Lord, spiritually prepare me for it. Make me a good follower. Make me somebody that my children can follow in my footsteps and go beyond in this gospel. Because in this last day, when everything is turned upside down, we know that the Lord's great work will be done. It says in the Book of Mormon that there's going to be a last time that he will send forth his laborers into the field to gather and to work and to reap. And the Lord is going to be there with us to accomplish it. But we have to be steadfast and ready to serve those God, to prepare ourselves in this life, to prepare our children with our example, with our dedication, to raise them and then nurture them in the gospel, because they're not far behind us. It seems like just a few years ago that Tony was sitting in our lap, my lap, little tiny guy, grown man. It won't be long before Brooke is a grown woman. It's coming to an end. This generation has a great responsibility. So we thank our fathers for setting the footsteps for us. But it's time that each one of us start looking for what it is we are to do. May God bless us in that endeavor.